Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Vereen, welcome to the Triple M Friday Huddle.
For McDonald's Chicken Big Mac.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, big Friday huddle coming your way. 6:35, Chris Grant from the Western Bulldogs Football Club. 7:05, Scott Campriali from the Adelaide Crows. A lot to get through. The boys will give their thoughts on Vernon Tomic, amongst other things. Massive game for both these clubs. The Dogs need a win to stay in the eight. The Crows a win to line up their top four chances as the season continues. And I look at this team here and it's beautifully assembled. Damien Barrett is here in suit and tie. Hello, Damo.
Hello, Howie. Didn't get a chance to take it off between a lunch engagement and today, tonight. So sorry about that. I normally dressed a bit down.
No, you look nice and in the double denim that few can pull off. It must be said, Chris Judd has wandered in. Hello, Judge.
Howie. How are you, mate?
Very, very nice.
Thank you for the compliment. Yeah, there aren't too many that can pull off the double denim. But feeling very comfortable in the look, Brownie.
And Nate Brown here as well. Hello, Noodles.
Yeah, I can't believe that you've been able to come back from Port Douglas this week. And you're here on a Friday night, so you've been away all week with the family, and you've managed to come back on a flight tonight. I find that extraordinary. I thought you were better than I thought you were above that sort of stuff. I thought you would have gone to Triple M management and said, no, I can't be here tonight. I've got to be with my family up in Port Douglas.
Very passionate about the huddle, Brownie. And the huddle is like family to me. And does it make me a hero? I don't know. It probably does. But what it does expose is Luke Darcy's lack of commitment to this very, very show.
And Luke Hodges.
It's exposed him and Hodgie for
Hodgie's meant to be on the rundown tonight.
Well, just on Hodgie. He's in the rundown. Our producer's like, I haven't spoke to Luke Hodgie all week, but he's on. Don't worry, I'm going
to
call him now.
We
all sat around talking about it.
Look at him shaking his head.
Until I said to our great producer, you know the Hawks are playing GWS in Tasmania tomorrow. Hodgie might have a little bit more on.
That's why he's not answering the phone.
You've come back from Port Douglas, which is a very, very, very good effort. Could have done it from the studio up there. You're aware of that, aren't you?
You live and learn. You know, it's the first year in radio outside of footy,
that.
And turns out there are some other options.
That's
I reckon we've got to know Juddy well enough this year to know that this wouldn't be the only reason he's come back.
That's hurtful, Purple. Hurtful and untrue.
It's not a bad point, though. Where are you heading with this, Purple?
I just want to know what else he's going to do before he heads back up to Port Douglas.
No, I've got no other...
Because from Triple M, you would be on a set wage type setup. So whether you do this or you don't do, you probably get the same amount
not
of money.
Not about the money. It's not about the money,
though. It clearly is about the money. You've come back and you've got some sort of tax rot going on, I would have thought.
No, just here for the show, Howie, and looking forward to it, because we have got a very, very big show.
We do have a big show. A couple of things to touch off before we get into quite an explosive story. I always like it when one of the football fraternity gets stuck into one of our own, which we're going to discuss in a minute. But Damo, the suit and tie, I had a couple of friends out and about in the corporate world today.
Oh, did you, Howie? Yeah, right.
They said they went to a corporate function in front of 1,000 people.
Where'd they go, Howie?
CEO of the AFL spoke at Crown hosted by Mr. Entertainment himself, Damien Barrett.
No.
How did it go, Damien? One-on-one with the Chief.
Nicole Livingston did the hosting. I just did a little 20-minute Q&A with the
So you were wheeled in like Parkinson?
Pretty much like that. And
as Jody would say, bit of high-performance lecturing, was it?
What did
you
give?
It was a business luncheon, Brownie. Yep. It was a business luncheon. So we sort of tailored the questions. We think we got a little bit out of Gill in there, but it was an in-house gathering, so I can't repeat it.
It
was very open, about four back-page stories.
No.
You know me well enough. You know I love a joke. I don't drive a joke. I cannot drive a joke, but I do like a joke.
At what stage in the Palladium did the noise of knives and forks and people eating?
No, in fact,
I'd go over the top of
you. We left them. I say we. Wanting more, Howie.
Howie, I heard, I went to the gym with you today and have a look at you. You've gone from what is probably a size extra small t-shirt to a small now, so you've actually started to fill out a
bit. It's sort of a prepubescent size now.
I wouldn't go that far. But at the gym, you told me something extraordinary. And we know that the judge has got extraordinarily happy with himself, and so he should. He's a Brownlow medalist, and he's played for two
just
clubs.
Dual
Brownlow medalist. But what you told me today, and I think, I know you didn't tell me, you didn't want this to go to air, but I think this sort of thing has to go to air.
It has to go to air.
People want to hear
light.
This sort of stuff, because this is a man who never read a paper during his playing days and wasn't going to be part of the media, didn't feel like this fraternity was for him, and all of a sudden he's making a very good living out of it.
We were leaving the MCG last Friday night, and Rosie's here in the studio, and delighted delightful to have Rosie here. And I was reluctant to tell this story, but now you've put it on. We were leaving the MCG last Friday night,
so
Domo.
You and Juddy, and I think there was also the Big Nose producer.
Our producer. And we're walking out through the magnificent concourse, the MCG, and there's a lot of, hey, Juddy. And he just doesn't acknowledge anyone. He's taken a real Jason Dunstall approach to the fans as he's got to this stage of his career. We wind through to the car park in Punt Road, and Juddy mutters something under his breath. And I'm like, what was that, mate? And he mumbles away again, and he finally says, oh, I was just looking around here, surmising to myself where my statue would go. Thought possibly next to Lee Matthews in front of Kevin Bartlett.
It's a legitimate concern. I mean, it's not something you'd have to worry about now. But some of us, you know, does it go in front of gate 3? Does it go in front of gate 5? You know?
Or both.
One per brown line. Two statues. It's another option.
One with hair, one without hair.
And that's a good point. Do they go with the wispy sort of thing that you had the 5 goals, or do they go the nude nut?
These are all the sort of things I've got rolling around in my mind now. And for you to not show any empathy when I raise it as a legitimate concern, I think is very hurtful.
Is your connection there with that venue on the back of your very first game in AFL football, when you played in that game in round 2 in that year, and your waffle coach then said to everyone, we're never seeing that man again? Is that your absolute link to it?
Oh, I think, where do you start and stop, Purple? We'd be here all night, but... I'm glad you brought that up, Howie. You know, it was a private conversation.
I know, and that's why I told Knife not to bring it. What I find extraordinary is you're not thinking in your mind whether you should get a statue. You're thinking which gate his statue should go out the front of.
Who are your best place next to, you think, of the statues out there?
I would have thought Lethal would have wanted me next to him.
Yep.
Two leaders in the community, on and off the field.
What about Warnie?
Different sort of characters.
Sure, well, I don't pull my pants down to my knees at a urinal, but I mean, other than that, I think there's a lot of similarities. It does do that.
On the 2004 Irish tour?
I've heard about this.
By the Brisbane Lions players. So there was, I'm going to name them, Justin Lepich was there, both the Scott boys, Chris Johnson, and Acca was there, but no one spoke to him. So I'll just go those four. But they said that Lethal, every time he goes to the toilet, pulls his pants all the way down in the urinal and then goes to the toilet.
Down to his ankles.
Down to his ankles.
The Brisbane boys used to take him off without his knowledge that this was going on. And one day, Jamie Charman was at the urinal, his pants down to his ankles, taking him off. And Lethal walked around the corner and goes, oh, Charmo, you too.
So the thing in Ireland was everybody had to do this. If you walked into a cubicle or a urinal and you didn't have your pants down around your ankles, then you'd have to have a drink when you came back out. And a lot of Irish people walk in and go, geez, these Australians are weirdos.
I wouldn't mind seeing another Lee Matthews statue erected with the pants down around the ankles just to celebrate some of his manoeuvres off the field.
All right, very nice start by you boys. Damo, I mentioned at the start that we like a good media stoush, a stoush, and something has come to my attention today where I was listening to a rival of us, SEN. They do a magnificent job. And Neil Barn was on. You were reporting on the Footy Show last night a story about Dustin Martin and his ongoing contract dispute with the Richmond Football Club. And Neil Barn delivered, boys, geez, made me laugh.
It was a good spray.
It's a good spray. This is what Neil Barn had to say today on SEN about our own Damien Barrett.
All he does is, it's just one more cross against his name, isn't it? Doesn't he talk some crap? Don't you reckon?
Well, he was saying that Ralph...
But unfortunately, that's
what
you have to do.
He's reporting what he knows.
He's reporting what he thinks he wants to know. Look, he might have been told that crap up.
He might have been told some of that.
Oh, no, I shouldn't. I know what he has to do. They have to say something to make themselves meaningful, and I get it. But it's just horrible. It's... meaningless rubbish.
They have to say something. Horrible. They to make themselves relevant, Damo.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah. It's a slap.
Slander.
I've not stopped laughing all day since I heard that. And I couldn't wait to get that away on our show tonight. How do you respond?
Yeah, you started texting pretty early. Yeah. I think you're the first one to text.
Were you listening to that when it came
out? No, I didn't hear it. I normally do listen to it. I do like that hour they do with David Colwood as well. But I didn't hear it today. I had a few bit things on, but I was made aware of it. Barmy Howie, every day he knows he's got to do media. He before he goes out the door, he blows into his little device. He's got the liar meter, and he makes sure it hovers around 0.05 if he has to do media. If he has to talk about the Footy Show, he blows into it really hard to make sure blows it off the charts. So Barmy wasn't at Richmond at the time in question with what this story was about, and that was that Dustin Martin's manager, Ralph Carr, back in 2013, Jody, as you remember, was being touted to other clubs. Brownie, you had a tour of GWS.
They weren't happy.
They weren't happy. In the end, Richmond pulled its offer off the table and Dusty ended up staying at Richmond, long story short, for less money than what he got. Mm-hmm. Re-signed in 2015, knowing that he's a free agent now. And right now, Rolf Carr has the whip hand in this particular deal. And I just stated, without trying to make a big song and dance about it, that that is a reason for the delay in Justy wanting to commit to Richmond right now, because Rolf Carr has the whip hand.
They're making him sweat.
Making him sweat, which you're entitled to do. That's what Rolf Carr does. He did it to Neil Baum when he was at Collingwood with Travis Clark. Neil Baum bent over right at the end on that particular deal when all the way through, Travis Clark will not get more than four-year deals from Collingwood, ended up getting a five-year deal from Collingwood.
In terms of a relationship, so a setter of your relationship with Neil Baum, is it one that's as hateful and as vengeful as you and Robbo, or is it somewhere
between? No, we actually get on reasonably well. But Barmy, so just by way of habit.
A little bit in jest today from Barmy? Or
no, I don't. It's the first time I've heard it. I've read it. It's the first time I've heard it. I don't think he was in jest, was he? But he wasn't in jest, Towie, a couple of years ago.
Well, I don't like to bring these things up, but we go back to May 29, 2015, boys. Damo had reported that Adam Treloar was at the GWS at the time and was going to choose Collingwood over the Richmond Football Club. And our man Barmy...
Was at Collingwood at the time?
He was at Collingwood at the time. And again, he took aim at poor little Damien.
On the footy show last night, Damien Barrett,
he said
Adam Treloar, Collingwood's making him an offer of $750,000.
I can guarantee that's not true. There you are. Okay, is that what you want me to say?
Well, that's the answer, Steve. Not true.
So proven to be quite
there
correct.
There you go. There's that liar meter that I referred to when he's referring to the footy show. So
next time you see Barmy...
The outside noise that footy club refers to more than any other club, when we hear them talking about what they think of the media, we block it out.
So right now, there's a lot of people that would probably like to fight you. Barm now goes into that list. Luke Beveridge had a crack at it. I know that Justin Lippage had to be strained one night from killing you. If you had to pick one of those three to fight for your life, who would you go first?
Luke Beveridge. He scares me.
He would crush
physically.
Damo, a bit of news getting around. Tell us some stories that you're not going to get belted about.
Well, you never know, do you?
No.
Birchall from Hawthorn, yep. Having a scan on his knee, which has been a problem for him for some time already, and yet to be ruled out for the season, as far as I know it to be the case. But there are some doubts, as there continues to be over Jager O'Meara. Alistair Clarkson today at his press conference put another time frame upon his return.
He's back training, and we're anticipating he's going to do a rehab block over the next 3 or 4 weeks and get himself back in the side.
3 or 4 weeks pushes it out to round 19, round 20. There is, as we've been saying for some time now, a possibility now, and it's now very strong, that he doesn't play again this year, which means he's played 4 games this year, which means he's played 4 games in 3 years. And there is no spin on what they can say about this. You do not go down this path if you knew that this year was going to unfold the way it did. So, and again, people sort of listen to us talk about O'Meara. It's got nothing to do with O'Meara. It's just Hawthorn's decision to give up the farm for him the way they did. As we know, St Kilda's got its first draft pick on the back of it. So, again, I'm aware it's a big picture scenario for them, and they'll be still saying that it's an 8 to 10 year project. But the poor player, as we speak, has played 4 games out of the past 2 and 3 quarter seasons of footy.
And if he does have ongoing problems with that knee, which clearly he does, it doesn't make a lot of sense in bringing him back this year.
None.
I wouldn't have thought.
None. None. But the 3 to 4 weeks on top of already the rehab that he's been doing, clearly they have changed the narrative on this throughout the course of this year. And right now, when we are entering round 16 and he's saying 3 or 4 weeks, and that will then depend. If they somehow get on a roll and get up into the finals, well, maybe if he's right to go, they may roll the dice on it. But if they're going to stay outside the finals, I don't see any gain in doing it, because he injured it last year by trying to come back through the kneeful as well.
He's still got age on his side, Brownie. He's not in his late 20s. There's a lot of modern science around that can minimise damage to dodgy joints. You'd expect there's still a chance he's going to have a decent career at Hawthorn.
When you think about you think he's been around for 12 or 13 years, don't you, when you think of his name? Yeah, and he's got plenty of time. And I think Hawthorn, if they can win tomorrow, they're a huge shot. I mean, they're going to send some shockwaves through if they beat GWS down there tomorrow, where Luke Hodges is obviously playing.
Yes, as opposed to being here on the Friday huddle. Obviously, these are long-term plans, but as far as the recruits that the Hawks have picked up this year, Mitchell's obviously going great guns and Henderson's going well, but she's been a pretty tough week if you're Jager O'Meara or Tyrone Vickery, who were picked up by the Hawks.
Yeah.
Interesting story, that one.
It
Damo
is, and
up.
We're not going to delve too deep, Howie, because there are legal impediments upon doing so, but from what I was able to ascertain as best I could over the course of the past 48 hours, I don't expect there to be a major issue for Ty Vickery on it. Now, again, it's still to play out, and let's reserve that and put the asterisk on what I'm saying there as until the police say no, let's watch this space. But the people I've spoken to who seem familiar with it, and that's inclusive of Hawthorne people who have allowed him to play this weekend in the VFL.
Yep.
And as such, I feel that eventually he will come out of this particular issue without a problem. But it is another chapter in the Vickery story, Jody.
It is, yeah. I was initially confused when I heard the story. Purple, I thought Hawthorne had employed King.
What are you talking about, Jody?
Hawthorne employed King and he get back the money that Vickery took from them. But turns out that wasn't what it was.
You went with a pre-show. I didn't think you were going to go with it live.
You didn't want to say that.
I thought that was your off-air material, Jody.
If I'm flying back from this, I've got to get some of it out on air.
We're not far from the city of ink. I can just hear the motorbikes just starting now.
It's a serious issue.
You see the telepie from here, Jody.
I was going to go with something serious about Kingy then, but I think...
I'm not sure you can claim that he's been extorting the Hawks. Now, let's be a little bit serious for a moment, Nath. You had a chat with Kingy. He's a mate of yours.
Yeah, he is.
And obviously there's sensitive legal issues at play here, as Damien suggested. But how was he?
He was okay. He seemed a little bit more unsure than what he normally does. He's an angry young man, and I can imagine what he's going through at the moment, and he's got some concerns. But as Damo said, I think Tyrone Vickery is going to be in the clear. But they are serious charges. You can't obviously do what they're saying that he did. And it's hard to comment. We'll watch the space.
Tough week this week if you're an Australian tennis fan, Australian sports fan. Bernard Tomic, he goes out on a court with AUS in brackets next to his name. Whether you feel he's representing himself or his country, people are divided on that issue. However, if you haven't heard it, if you've been on another planet, this is a little bit of what Bernie rolled out after he was beaten by Zverev in straight sets in the first round at Wimbledon.
Yeah, I just tried to break a bit of momentum, but just couldn't find any rhythm and wasn't mentally and physically there with my mental state to perform, and I don't know why, but I felt a little bit bored out there. So, to be completely honest with you.
A little bit bored. I could be howled down here, but the first time I heard it, I thought, well, that's a strange thing to say, but I really appreciated his honesty.
Is it honesty? Or has he just been a wanker?
I think that's how he feels, and I think he actually spoke his mind.
No, I don't think he is. I think he's playing this up. I think he wants people to think he's this loose cannon who doesn't really care and he makes excuses because
I don't think
he's
cares.
Got a pee heart.
I think it's I thought of two things. I thought either he's trying to minimise the pain that the disappointment of losing causes, because if you don't care about something, naturally you're not upset that you lost because you didn't care about it in the first place, which I see some footy players do. Or I thought he's in a bit of a low place. That's the other thing that springs to mind. You never really know what's going on with someone's mental state. And if he is in a really low place, he probably needs a little bit more empathy than perhaps he's getting by the media at large.
I'm with you on this one, Howie. I don't agree with it. More so than you, Brownie. I feel that the openness, and I'm prepared to say it's openness like Howie did, is something that we should actually take on board. And if it doesn't mean enough for him to care, why should we actually care about him? And this argument that he's representing Australia, he's not representing Australia at Wimbledon. He's representing Australia only when he plays Davis Cup. And we know what Leighton Hewitt's done to him by way of that mechanism anyway. So I just feel that I'd rather him be like that post-game, as he was, than to continue a charade where we think that he's going through the motions and think that he's caring.
I think if you do say that, you need to have enough insight to appreciate that people have given up their time and money to come and watch you play.
And that's the factor.
And if you can follow it up with some form of apology, that would show a little bit of maturity. But other than that, you can't help how you feel. If that's how he feels,
he's a recidivist, though. He does it time and time again, though, doesn't he?
I mean, I agree a bit with Purple. He's not playing good enough tennis to justify a lot of media attention, and he doesn't say enough things that are insightful to justify a heap of attention. I think it's probably time to...
Very unlikable, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, and that's the bottom line. Another comment he made, Howie, was how, and I'm paraphrasing because he did talk openly at length, he could stay at 80 or 90 in the world, play for another 10 years and earn a lot of money. There's a lot of people who list, we know, and ourselves at times and through phases of life are prepared just to be a number. Now, maybe not you, Juddy, because you're so bloody successful, but there's people who are just happy with what they've got and don't want to rock the boat and are happy to be where they are, which is a long way away from being the best. And maybe that's what he's just going to do. And maybe if we get our heads around that. Let's do it.
It was an interesting comment in a press conference, and I rang Nath during the week and I said, "Oh, now come on, what's the stupidest thing you've said in a press conference?" And he said, "Oh, I need you to sit down and we need to run through a few how." Yeah, we've tried to narrow it down to one. Nath, you've done plenty of press conferences in your time. Have you ever done a Bernard Tomic style?
Did the press conference for my 100th game out of the kennel, and at this stage, I might have been a little bit more like Bernard at that point, but I came up with the. They asked me what I wanted to get in my career and how many games I was going to play. And my comment going back as a young kid, I was only 21 or 22, I think. I said that I just want to make enough money by the time I'm 27 to retire.
27? Well, that's pretty similar to what our man said.
And I could see Plough sitting next to me and his shoulders slumped. He looked at me and he couldn't believe it.
Did you mean it?
I meant it at that point, yeah. And he gave me the whole spiel about, you know, people are given an arm and a leg to be able to be in your position. And I said, well, you take an arm and a leg off somebody and put them out in the middle of the MCG. They're not going to get too many kicks, are they?
What about you, Juddy, a renowned dull media performer until about 15 rounds ago when you joined us here at Triple M?
Look, I think my most memorable low point came in a press conference after the season. I think it was in 2010. It was the last game of the year. We got knocked out the final against Brisbane. We'd been up for most of the night, socking away a couple of cold ones, Howie, as one does post-last game. And I was accused of eye gouging, which I cleverly thought I would get rid of that accusation by elaborating on the pressure point manoeuvre, which I was implementing.
I was just pushing my thumb into it's a pressure point behind your ear, and it's a pretty stupid thing to do. And I haven't actually seen it on footage, but I assume my hands are close to his eyes. Yeah, I don't know if the pressure point was really hurting him, but it was a dumb thing to do.
And you defended yourself from taking it away from eye gouging and going to pressure points.
Too clever. You know it's a dumb thing to do, doing a press conference off a half an hour sleep and 24 stubbies, Harry. That's what's a very dumb thing to do.
And a blowback too.
There was some blowback. I think Ronald Dalbarassi called for a life ban amongst other luminaries of our game. So,
how funny is that to listen back to?
It's awkward. It's awkward, but I'm glad we could bring it up for the family.
What did Scotty Palmer have to say?
Scotty would have liked it. No. I think he's a... we've got a love-hate relationship with Scotty Palmer.
Damo, some interesting press conference comments made this week by Luke Beveridge, which caught the eye of a lot of people in the media for obvious reasons.
Yeah, he was really obviously concerned around the timing and the announcement of the Tom Boyd situation, which we know, Jody, statement during the week, clinical depression, sidelined for an indefinite period. It could be as soon as next week that he attempts to come back and train, but that's an unknown. But yeah, part of the press conference around that announcement was Luke Beveridge talking quite deeply about every aspect to it, including the views that he's got, and he threw it up really cleverly, I thought, on the media.
I suppose at times I've only been in it a short time as a senior coach. I'm inquisitive as to the conscience of people at times, and you in the room at times. You know, is there an empathetic bone? What are your ethics? Do you care about the individual? And that's why it's quite hard to take at times when there's articles written, comments made about players and even coaches, where there's no concern at all for their welfare.
That's Luke Beveridge, the coach of the Bulldogs, talking about the greater issue of the media and whether they play any part in the mental health of the players or how they feel about the players. I heard these comments and it's still taken me 3 days to try and wrap my head around how I feel about them, Damon. What do you think?
Well, again, I can see where Luke Beveridge is coming from because he obviously knows exactly what Tom Boyd is going through and has helped him to the point where he's able to go public with the condition. But it's a strange one, Howie. I mean, he's quizzical about the empathy and respect and sympathy levels of the media. I don't think he needs to be at that. If the media, as far as I know, and we're all part of it, so let's not make it a journalist / commentator thing. Let's make it all in together.
Yep.
The moment, I know that the moment the mental health situation is explained to the media, it's done. There's no more critiquing of that particular issue. So the moment you know that, but you don't know that, and until you're told that by someone close to the person involved, I think you have to treat it as an analytical issue every time because that is what the media's role is. You have to wonder why. This man has got a very big contract, and again, it is part of the Tom Boyd story. You can't just pick and choose which parts of someone's story you choose to highlight. It's part of his story. So that's why this is an issue for the Bulldogs. I get what Luke Beveridge is saying, but I can actually answer his query. When the media knows there's mental health, it's all fine.
I think it's come a long way, Howie. I mean, I think back, this is a completely different issue, but I think back to Ben Cousins' drug addiction when he was playing, and that's a mental health issue. Yep. Granted, very different to clinical depression. When he flew over to rehab in LA, he had journalists on the plane with him, following him to that. Now, we've heard of other players going to rehab since, and they've been given the privacy they deserve. And when players have clinical depression, I think they get a really solid amount of privacy from the media. And like Purple says, I think everyone recognises, right, that's time to back off and stop reporting on it. So I think there's been a lot of growth there. I'm sure there'll still be some growth to come, but I don't think we can judge the media too harshly on how they handle these issues.
It's a good point you both make.
And the, again, you go back a year ago, or a bit more than a year ago now, where Tom Boyd was playing VFL football, and Luke Beveridge himself chose, and again, I don't want this to be seen as a Luke Beveridge situation with me, but he chose to not tell the public why he was playing VFL. We then made some inquiries, and we found that he'd hit a teammate, and for the, as such, he was playing VFL for those reasons. Then they came public with this issue. So the reason I'm raising this is, if everything's above board, and if you want us to be aware of everything that's going on in a person's life, you need to let us in a little bit too. Let us in on the truth that is attached to a player that doesn't involve mental health. And then you get to this stage and there's a trust to actually make that private phone call, as a lot of coaches and other people in footy do to a member of the media. Hey, listen, this is why we want you to treat this person this way. And immediately that journalist, I would think, to a man and woman, would back off that issue.
So the journalist now, when something like this comes up and there's a player who you don't know has depression, so obviously a lot of journalists are on Jake Stringer's case at the moment. Wayne Kerr wrote an article about it, how he can get back into form. A lot of, I guess, journalists and media people, ex-footballers, saying that he's not doing what he needs to do. He's not working hard enough. Mm. Now that this has come out, to journalists and, I guess, us as ex-footballers who are in the media, what's Jake Stringer say tonight and then just give him a little bit more leeway? Is that what the coach is asking?
You'd have to ask him, wouldn't you? Because I think he arguably is, yeah. But again, Wayne Carey, as you refer to writing that column, and as you write columns, Jody, you're critiquing players. If you're compromised by what you observe and then don't relay into your writing or your observations, you're not doing yourself or your employer any favours. You're there to call it the way you see it. And until you know there's a mental health issue, I think, Brownie, as harsh as it sounds, because it's a harsh game. It's a harsh, brutal game.
It's a performance-based game.
It's a performance-based game.
Results.
I tell you what, I wouldn't want to get that phone call after I'd finished writing the article, Purple, because they're very hard to punch out at this time of year. I'd hope I got it before I launched into one of my very, very insightful pieces.
That you do manage to tweet quite regularly about your own work.
People want to know what I'm writing about, Howie.
The footy manager from the Western Bulldogs is on the line from the Adelaide Oval, Chris Grant, who's been listening into this conversation. Good evening to you, Chris. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle.
No problems, guys.
Hey, you heard the last minute or so of that conversation, Chris. How do you see this whole issue? Your coach brought it up. I think you heard what Damien had to say. It's a tricky one because obviously the player's health is foremost, but when we as a wider community don't know something is wrong, typically the players are analysed as athletes and only athletes.
Oh, look, it's difficult. There's no doubt about that. I think, you know, just listening in, it, you can see how difficult it is for everybody in an industry to deal with it. You know, I think it's very hard for the media to understand what a player might be going through when, I think it might have been you, Brandy, said it's a performance-based game and industry. And you understand as a player and an athlete that on Monday morning or a Sunday morning, depending on when you play, that you are going to be critiqued. I think you're these days critiqued within the interval of your life. And I think the element of what's become probably increasingly difficult for players over the last 5 to 6 years is the social media aspect of it. And that's very hard to control. You know, I think the media have an understanding of, you know, trying to critique to the performance and leaving personalities out of it, or potentially what a player might be getting paid. But, you know, the social media element is almost impossible to control, and you try and keep the players away from it. But even if it's noise in the background, you know, the player only has to go to a family function or a family dinner and to be told, oh, you know, did you hear what a few of them had to say, whether it's on Twitter or anything like that. So it is hard to control. I think what's really pleasing is, you know, just the nature of the industry just rallying to support the players who do come out and indicate that they've got an issue.
Yeah, Chris, and again, we won't ask any more questions about Tom Boyd other than, is there any update on the football side of it for him? I know it's a distant second to what he's going through, but the last we heard during the week was that the possibility of him returning to the club next week. Is there an update on that front?
Yeah, pretty much, Damien. He always indicated that, you know, the early part of during the week and over the weekend, that he just needed a small amount of time away just to gather his thoughts and to put some planning into place with his family and us. And that's what we did in the early part of this week. He was really comfortable at that stage to release it externally. But he was also very much in the position, because of the amount of work that he's been doing with the people close to him, in a psychology sense and a psychiatric sense, that he just needed a small amount of time. And he felt that it was likely to be just this week, and he'd return to Whitten Oval next week. And we're really pleased that he feels that way. It's a good sign that he's feeling like that already.
Chris, I was interested in some comments that Peter Gordon made a few weeks ago, whereby he compared this year to last year, and last year he had severe anxiety throughout the games and was pacing the corridors and nauseous, and this year he's been trying to enjoy it a little bit more, and he shouldn't apologise for that. Do you feel as a club it's hard to find that balance between enjoying the fact that you're now a premiership club and maybe being a little bit more relaxed but still having that edge about you from a performance sense across the whole club?
Yeah, it's hard, Jody. I think you know, what our playing group have experienced over probably a couple of years is, you know, at the end of 2014, the playing group weren't in a great place. And, you know, when Luke came in emotionally, he was able to, you know, instill a lot of confidence into them and really did focus on just the enjoyment of the game. There's some tactics and positional stuff that needs to be carried out when you go out there, but generally just go out and enjoy and actually help your mates. And, you know, I think that's where the improvement really, and dramatic improvement really, came from. The battle this year is to recapture that and to continue on that path when, you know, the competition, other 17 clubs are, you know, now you're the yardstick, and each individual has to come up against a new opponent and someone who wants to knock them off each week, and probably at a harder fashion than the year before. So the nature of this game is that you get very little chance to sit still. You're constantly moving forward. The battle for us is, you know, to continue on that path, but also to be able to, you know, just rally around each other when we need it. I think we're just going through that, you know, development stage of our progression. We're actually quite a young team still, and even though we've won a premiership, a few of the guys are still, you know, going through that battle of being able to produce a consistent performance on a weekly basis.
Nice to speak to Chris Grant, the footy director of the Western Bulldogs, on the Friday Huddle.
A lot of pressure on some of your players at the moment, Granny. And going back to 1998 at training, you released some aggression one day, and I'm sure you could talk to your players about it, but you weren't happy with a coaching decision in a practice game down at one of the ovals, and you booted the ball. It was about three streets away and landed in some old lady's backyard. Have you sat Jason Johannesson down and said, "This is the way we do it, young fella," when we're under the pump?
Yeah, I don't. I've never forgotten that moment, because every time I run into one of you blokes, you remind me about it. And the fella who was umpiring that game was poor old Chocolate Royal, who just happened to be an assistant coach and was putting in some hard yards doing the umpiring. And he found out, you know, in very certain terms how I felt about his umpiring decision.
Chris, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Doggies tonight over in Adelaide.
Thanks, guys.
Can you handle the pressure?
You can't handle the pressure!
We don't think the boys can.
It's got me under pressure.
Time for the pressure test.
Give us a call now, 133353, to give yourself a crack at tickets for you and three mates at the Medallion Club at Etihad Stadium, and be in the running, Noodles, for two tickets this year's Toyota AFL Grand Final. You're going head-to-head with the judge, Chris Judd, tonight, who's snuck out of the studio. A little bit of rain around Adelaide, no changes either.
No changes. And as far as we know, Juddy doesn't cheat, unlike the bloke who's left in the studio, Nathan Brown.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there cheating.
I would be, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I think he's that.
You're the only one
himself.
I know who
he doesn't want to lose anything.
They turned off the microphones out there when you went out there, and then you got on your phone.
Streamed it on 5 second delay. Calvin is on the line from Clayton. G'day, Calvin.
G'day, gentlemen. How are you? Love the show as always.
Oh, good man, Calv. What have you been up to today?
Been sorting out a lot of paperwork and doing a bit of housework, boring stuff, but I've always got Triple M on in the background.
That's what we like to hear, Clayton. All right, here we go, Clayton. Clayton, name six of the 10 SANFL teams by name, not nickname.
North Adelaide, West Adelaide, Norwood, Sturt, Glenelg, Eagles, South Adelaide.
No, unfortunately, he went with one nickname.
Good,
it was a great effort, but he went with one nickname.
What was your nickname?
He went with the Eagles.
But are they called?
They are called the Eagles.
Yes, but it's by name, not nickname.
Oh.
I stated that quite clearly, Nathan. Good try, though, Calvin. Oh. Caitlin is
so
on the line.
Who are the Eagles called?
From Roxby Downs.
What are they called, Howie?
They'd be, I don't know. No, I'm only
you look up the
questions.
Ladder, it's Eagles. I think it's a technical thing here. You look at the ladder, and they are called Eagles. They are not called anything else.
Caitlin's on the line from Roxby Downs. Hello, Caitlin.
Oh.
Hello.
How are you today, Caitlin? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. Just driven down from Roxby Downs.
Fantastic. All right, Caitlin from Adelaide. Well, you're a big chance here. Here we go. Name 6 of the 10 Sandful teams by name, not nickname. Can you
handle the pressure? Football Club, West Adelaide Football Club, Central Districts Football Club, South Adelaide Football Club, Norwood Football Club, Glenelg Football Club.
Oh, yes, you've done enough. You've done enough, Caitlin. You've done absolutely brilliantly, as Nate points out to me, the Sandful ladder, which says first on the ladder with 11 wins.
Eagles.
It's the Eagles, but poor old...
poor old Calvin.
Calvin, who's been listening in, might have got stiff, but life's not fair, Damien.
No, but Howie, you should be fairer than you were to him.
Yeah, life is not fair. Oh. Well done, Caitlin. You're on the running to win tickets to the Medallion Club as Chris Judd walks in, a man that I used to think was humble until I started working with him and now realise there's a fair bit of swagger about this man. All right,
there's nothing
Judd.
Humble about a man who wears double denim.
No, there's not. Here we go, Judge. Name 6 of the 10 SANFL teams by name, not nickname.
Port Adelaide.
Yes.
Glenelg.
Yes.
West Adelaide.
Yes.
Oh, well. This is a shocking question. Who cares about the SANFL?
Eagles.
Who cares about the SANFL? Caitlin, you've beaten Judge Juddy. You win tickets for you and 3 mates, the Medallion Club at Etihad Stadium next weekend, and you'll be in the running for tickets this year's Toyota AFL Grand Final. Caitlin, what does it mean to you to take down Chris Judd?
It's pretty good.
Well done. Well done, Caitlin.
Well done, Caitlin.
I'd like to put in an honorary mention for Calvin. I thought he was
Calvin.
Stiff.
Calvin did well.
How many teams are there in the SANFL? There couldn't be many more than 6, is it?
10.
Well, I think we'll get Calvin back on the line. Caitlin can go to the Adelaide Oval. Calvin, you're back on the line.
Thank you.
You were correct. I was incorrect. So, Calv, what I'm going to do for you, I'm going to send you to the Medallion Club next weekend, Medallion Club style, and put you in the running for 2 tickets these to Toyota AFL Grand
there you
Final.
Go. Mm.
Much appreciated. Thank you. I wasn't sure if I was still on air. I actually didn't mention South Adelaide as well to make sure I had 6 plus the Eagles
there
to make sure
go.
I covered all bases.
Well done to you, Calvin.
I went into bat for you, Calvin.
No, well done.
And well done to you too, Howie, for falling on your sword there about fairness.
Well, not many of us in the media can admit we're wrong. I'm one of the few.
When I started to drink your own bathwater since doing the breakfast show this week.
And
you
tell
and
you,
Moon
has been pretty sharp as well. I think it's that time of the night.
10 minutes.
I think it's that time of the night, Rosie, where we look into Nath Brown's mum.
From the man who brought you
World According to the Cool Breeze
comes another classic book about a footballer.
Well, I didn't think it'd get this far.
This
it's just a mum's love.
Is My Son the Footballer.
Sales are up.
Just before we get going, Howie, I just thought I'd point to the quote. One of the quotes on the back of the book, which everyone has. They get someone to read the book early on and they give a quote.
Who did yours?
We'll get to my book later on, Brandy. Let's just work through yours for the time being. So, Brandy's got Mike Sheen.
Mum's got Mike Sheen.
Well, it's your book, Nathan. Huge name on the book. There's always been a point of difference with Nathan Brown on and off the playing field, which made for an interesting and highly entertaining career. If the book captures the spirit of his life and times in the AFL, it will be a fascinating read. This is the only book I've ever seen where the quote comes from someone who hasn't taken the time to actually read the novel.
Hasn't read it, Nate.
It's not my book,
Come
man.
On, Mike. It's a big if. It's a big if.
What page are we opening up today, Damo?
We're just randomly opening up at page 23. And we're still in Brownie's young years at the Bulldogs. He's a young man from Bendigo and he's just... learning the ways of the big smoke. And we pick up the story here from Michelle Brown. One night, Nathan was driving home from training and to his dismay, he got a flat tyre. Not being mechanically minded, he wasn't sure what to do. So he rang Daddy in Bendigo to ask for help. And Juddy, just back me up here. It actually does say Daddy. It's not
Daddy,
Dad, it's
yeah,
Daddy.
No, that's very masculine.
And again, this is the quote. Daddy's reply was, Daddy. Daddy's reply was, Daddy. And I'm reading that out. I'm not making that word up. What do you expect me to do from here? You'll just have to fix it yourself. Nathan didn't even know what a wheel brace looked like, so he called Trent Bartlett, a teammate who was traded by Brisbane to the Bulldogs early in the year for help. Trent drove out to where he was stranded and changed the tyre for him. Nathan never liked to get his hands dirty. He is what you would call a sensitive new age guy, and from that day on, he always called the RACV whenever he has car trouble. Just one little life story there. Do we want another one, Howie, tonight? Do we want another little life story?
I think Daddy needs to be followed up with another with another little one while we're on a roll, Damo.
Well, there's a reference here from Michelle Brown to a spitting controversy, which Nathan denied, and it must be said the club backed him up and then the spitting allegations went away. But I don't recall that part of your story. But I use that as a way into this. Chapter 4, Nathan Bean's Business, 1999. Nathan kicked off the 1999 season opener with a best-on-ground performance in the victory against Adelaide. After an ankle injury during the pre-season, he lined up for his 27th game for the Bulldogs. In round two, he had another blinder against Geelong, kicking 7 goals. When the exuberant little left-footer was celebrating his 7th goal, he ran forward, raised the ball over his head, looked back at his nearest opponent, and then ran in and kicked the goal. He was reprimanded for these actions. He liked Hilarise, but sometimes did it the wrong time because they lost that particular game. I remember that incident, Brownie.
Yeah. So does Brad Scholl. That was 7 goals, 10 minutes into the third quarter.
This one's for you, Big Daddy. I think he was heard mouthing as he kicked the goal.
Why would Michelle Brown write Daddy?
I don't know, Damo.
But I'm not making that up.
I believe you are making it up.
No, have a look with your own eyes, please.
I don't want to look. Let's move on.
How is Mummy and Daddy?
Yeah, they're good. They're great.
Damo, we're already talking about the story that you had on the Footy Show last night that Neil Barn blew up about as far as Dusty Martin was concerned. Some interesting comments you made too last night about the former Sydney Swans captain.
Jared McVeigh, the 2012 co-captain, along with Adam Goods in that year's premiership. He's open, guys, to a Sam Mitchell style of arrangement beyond this year, that being a 1 year to play at a new club with the additional years beyond that to be an assistant coach. And the fact that he's looking at this, clubs are aware of it in Melbourne particularly, Juddy. I know there's at least two who have spoken to his management at this situation. And it goes on the back of him not knowing where he's going to be next year with the Swans. He wants to play on. The Swans are aware of that. There's no bad blood at all. So it's not a disgruntled person here. It's just someone who has observed what Sam Mitchell has done, feeling that he's got some footy left and just open to the possibility of him heading down that path as well.
I think if you bring someone in, Howie, you bring him in as a player and then there was a player, or you bring him in as a coach and they're there to coach. I think when you bring him in as a hybrid, there's sort of a lack of accountability in either role, and I think it's fraught with danger.
Really? Why? That's interesting. Because I haven't heard that theory put up when it comes to Mitchell.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just think he's there as a player.
It's so a bit each way, you're sort of saying, in that person's
a little bit,
life.
Yeah. Like, you bring him in there to play, and then when it's time to coach, bring him in there to coach. I think when it's not... your job's half and half. Yeah. I think it's hard to assess how you're actually going at your job, and that's in whatever field.
I think from what I gathered during the week, just in making calls around the situation, he is as footy smart as anyone who's played the game in the modern era, from what I've been told.
McVeigh,
yeah. And I feel that the clubs are aware of that. They want to get into that intel from a coaching perspective, but the way to do that may be to have actually cough up a year as a player to actually get him on board. If you look at his form last week, by the way, which he's first... going back for a while, or he had injury this year, but he was pretty good. Like, really good, I thought, last week.
If you want to bring him in as a player, I think that's fine. Mm. But I think it sends a dangerous symbolism to the players that we're bringing in a player and we're giving him games on the field because we want him next year as a coach. It sort of devalues the role that players have out there on the field.
Okay. So is that the same for Stevie J at the moment?
If he's there as a coach, then I think it's a mistake. If he's there as a player... And to show on-ground leadership, all that stuff's fine, but it's got to be there. You're there playing, taking the field because you're a required player and what you can do on the field, not because of what you can do for us next year as an assistant coach.
What clubs would want him, Damo?
You tell me, Brownie, and I say that because I don't dive into what the requirements are.
Well, it's only a club that's in a premiership window, obviously.
Do you think it is?
And I would have thought it's a club at a half-back from a purely playing sense. And then this goes back to what Chris is saying. I mean, are you a club that goes after him because you think you can win a premiership, or are you a club that goes after him because you want him to be a coach? So it's got some merit what he's saying, because if you're a club like a Carlton who could do with some leadership and experience, they might go after him. Or the Bombers, who think they might be there, but then they've already got BJ, they've got Joe Watson, who is battling a little bit. So maybe the Bombers isn't the perfect spot.
Damo, unfortunately, Gazza, talking about superstars, is out with a hamstring. Better news for the Demons. They've had a tough injury run, but it seems like Jesse Hogan's back and ready to go.
Yeah, after the testicular cancer surgery that he had, and he has come back. It was at the end of the extremities of what they said when he first had the surgery, which to me made more sense in the 4 weeks they were initially saying, but he's missed a lot of footy even outside of the surgery. But it is a positive, Howie, in so many ways for him personally, but also given the, as you say, the now very long injury list of the Demons. If you took out the performance last week, which was, what, 35, 38 points against the Swans last week, it could have easily been 70 or 80 points that game. If you took that out of their last 9 weeks, it's still been a very good patch of time for them. And I know people have written them off on the back of what happened last week and the whole bug situation and the bad look that was and clearly was. But I'm, for what it's worth, prepared to just let them get that one and have that bad one, provided they bounce back this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think they're going really well. They've definitely grown a lot from last year. It looks like Simon Goodwin's a really good coach, and you know they'll be pretty hard to beat.
Some big grunt out of their midfield this week, though. Viney, and Tyson. They're big. I mean, they've built their character on the back of contested footy, which they haven't had in previous years. They've only had Nate Jones to do it in the middle. Now they've got these beasts in there who just butt heads with everybody and can use the footy on the outside. They're two massive outs, and they've got some injury concerns last week. Therefore, I think Carlton will beat them on Sunday.
Okay. Ali Fahor, Howie, we haven't talked about this situation. We feel it's played out, don't we, on Triple M footy. We don't labour the points of the week for the sake of it. But just for those who haven't caught up with today's development, that is that police have now laid charges over that act in the Northern Football League last week, which ultimately saw him lose his position at the AFL.
That's a really interesting one. I was speaking to a few footballers about that today, AFL footballers, and they didn't feel that something that happened on the field should become a police investigation. Obviously, we go way back to the Lee Matthews situation. You see that incident, and to me, there was no way he couldn't be charged by the police.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, just because you're out on a sporting field doesn't mean you can do whatever you like to someone, does it?
It's a lot different to the Bug one. I know people were saying that Bug should be charged. It was a split-second reaction from Bug, and the force wasn't huge from Bug, but he got his right whack. But when you look for somebody and you know where you want to go and you throw people out of the way to get to somebody then to hit them, it had all the accounts of maybe being out at a bar or a nightclub. But it had that one-punch stigma to it, didn't it? Whereas Bug's was a one-punch, but it didn't have that aggressive stigma to it.
Mm, the chase down. The situation you refer to, Howie, with the police, I like it because to me, and provided the news does travel across the state lines, it's a warning to everyone in a competitive sports sense that this is the turning point, okay? So we know we're getting the messaging now in the bars and the clubs and the pubs and the streets. The sporting field was considered outside the realm of that for some silly reason. It's now not in Victoria. They can't do this against Ali Fahor and then not do it again to someone tomorrow. So I like it. It's a very strong message.
And you don't want to wait till someone's permanently maimed from an incident like this before you start taking these actions. So ramp it up now. It's a good call.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, another big game this weekend, Maddie's match on Saturday night between the Richmond Football Club and the Saints. The last couple of years, Maddie's match has been not so much a competitive game. This is a massive game, Nate. The Saints are a game in. They're a game outside the top four. Richmond are entrenched in the top four. I think they're talking 45,000 plus tomorrow night at Etihad Stadium.
It's going to be a ripper. And for Maddie's match, it's an unbelievable thing. So Jack and Nick, they'll put on a show. Jack's going to be down at the Hotel Brighton tonight with doing an interview with Matthew Richardson. So if you're in the Brighton area, get down there and spend some money.
He hasn't just slipped that in, has he?
Yeah.
Have you got any interest in Hotel Brighton? Just declare it.
A little one, yeah.
Hey, Nath, while I've got you, we're just waiting for Scott Campriali. I've got a mate that works at the Glen Iris Sports and Aquatic Centre.
Come on, Howie.
Have you, Howie?
He has.
It's like you had mates at Crown Casino
today. No, listen, this bloke texted me during the week, and he sort of mentioned that, Nath, that you go down there and take your kids down there swimming. Am I on the right track here at the moment?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
He mentioned, well, three unsavoury incidents. And I couldn't believe that this could be true. And I don't like to bring up your television on national, your children on national radio, but you're young bloke.
It's a no-go area, the kids.
You know what aquanappies are, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
No. We're not going
in. Nath, has there been triple issues down there? Triple.
No one gives you a handbook on how to be a father, right? You're just thrown into this job, which is one of the hardest jobs you'll ever come across. And when you do it by four, sometimes things get hard. And my little kid, he's two. So I've got three girls and one boy.
What's his name? Don't call him your little kid.
Jude. So we take him down there on a Saturday morning before I do Triple M on a Saturday arvo. We've got an hour. And I noticed the first time, and I put the swimmer nappies on him.
So it's multiple times,
yeah.
Well,
multiple
I've been told
now.
Triple.
Sounds like a pattern.
And so I make sure I say to him, mate, do you need to go to the toilet? No.
He's too brilliant.
Do you need to go to the toilet? And I wait for it. It can't wait too long. I've got to be at the football by 12 o'clock, Damo. And if he hasn't gone to the toilet, he hasn't gone to the toilet. So you put the swimmer nappy on him. And then so there's me and there's the three kids. There's two girls and one boy. And I keep asking him, if he says yes, then I'll take him in to the toilet and because I've got to back up a swimmer nappy.
Mate, he's two.
And then all of a sudden last week, I look over. And he's got the life jacket on, he's got the kickboard, he's up on the wall, and I could see him straining and his face is going red, and it just all came out, and there was, little kids do a log, and you're able to pick it up just nice and calmly, but this was just your diarrhea set up everywhere, and it cleared the pool like a Jaws setup. It was unbelievable.
My man has reported that this has happened three times.
Three occasions it's happened now. I don't think I can take him down there anymore.
He's told me that a lot of parents are starting to request time slots away from the Brown family.
They don't know it's me.
Brown
they
by name,
know
Brown
it's
by
me.
Name.
Because I grab my kids and I get out quick smart and get him into the toilets and change room and let other people deal with it.
Does he still get the drive-through Maccas at post-swim if
he certainly
if he
does.
Himself?
Hutchie keeps giving us those vouchers and we keep going down there.
Talking about Hutchie, the footy show last night, Damo, I don't like to dwell on these things, but it's been described for some reason as a ratings war now in media in this part of the world. The front bar just pipped you boys again as a ratings number. I wouldn't have thought that would be going down that way. Well, I don't say this with any joy, and I'm not taking the piss out of you here because I really enjoy your work on the show and I enjoy
like
the work.
Are.
No, I'm not. But
Bummy does.
Rubbing his nose.
Well, no, I got friends.
That little Bummy in the lounge room, you're rubbing his
nose.
I got friends in both camps.
The dog's out of pee in the corner and you're going over there with the nose and you're rubbing it in it.
There you go.
There you go. You're going to do that again?
And you want to open our show tonight with Bummy.
Well, how are you going with it, Domo?
Just because Channel 10's no good.
As we said.
We're not bringing Channel 10 into this equation, I wouldn't have thought. I don't have too many bullets to fire there as the receivers move in and take out the fridge from the staff room.
As we said last week, Howie, there are challenges afoot with clearly what's going on. And as Sam Newman has said, and as recently as last night, we've been doing it 24 years, or he's been doing it 24 years, and one day he hopes to get it right, and that is the endeavour.
Scotty Camporelli joins us on the boundary from the Adelaide Oval. The Adelaide Crows take on the Western Bulldogs later on this evening in about 35 minutes' time. Good evening to you, Scotty.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good thing, Scotty. Sounds like it's pretty wet over there. How are you thinking the game plan will change to try and accommodate those conditions?
Yeah, well, obviously, there's going to be a little bit of rain, but it's probably more slippery than raining at the moment. So, look, we'd like to think that we can keep pressure on the Bulldogs' handball game. It'll be interesting to see whether they still come with that sort of process. But we'll be trying to get the ball forward and obviously lock in our front half.
Campo, there's a lot of music on in the background there. Are you doing some sort of 80s rendition while we're speaking to you?
No, we've actually got an 80s night tomorrow night, Randy, so if you've got any gear, let me know.
Oh, he will. He still wears it.
Hey, Joe Henderson, obviously he's been put under pressure a fair bit the last couple of weeks. Do you follow suit and put the pressure on?
Yeah, well, I think there's a weakness there, so why wouldn't you embrace it? So, look, we won't go out of our way, I guess, but, you know, one of our forwards will obviously, when they're in the area, give him something to deal with.
On the flip side of that question from Nathan Scott, Rory Sloane's had similar treatment to him in recent weeks, and he's handled it differently to Jason Johannesson, but still not the Rory Sloane we saw in the opening part of this season. What have you done with him this week?
Yeah, no, well, he'll play this week, you know, in terms of midfield minutes. We've obviously been trying to educate him as well. It hasn't really happened to him over his career, so this is a new focus for him. And as Juddy would know, it's a learning process. It's not an easy one, and we're trying to educate him what's best for Rory and what's best for the team as well, where we can use him and obviously give him some tools around what he can do to try and shake that as well. But a night like tonight, you know, we want one of our best contested ball players around the ball, so we'll see him a bit more around the action.
And Scotty, among the three ins tonight is the ageing but warrior, Scott Thompson. It's made a lot of people happy that he's used his sandful form to get back in. It took him a while. What role tonight for him?
Well, he'll play midfield. You know, he's been a real, as you said, a real warrior for us over the last, 300 games at the club. So he's earned his spot back in. We haven't given it to him. So he was quite clear at the end of last year what the expectations were going to be this year. And he's had a slow start because he's missed a bit with some injuries early on. But he's played the last four or five weeks in our SANFL team. We didn't play him last week knowing that there was a chance that he could play this Friday night. So he's fresh and ready to go.
And Scotty, watching the Crows over the last few weeks, it feels like opposition teams have really clamped down on those goals from really close, those sort of goals out the back that you guys have been renowned for. Are you sort of assuming that teams are going to stop those happening?
Yeah, well, there's probably been a little bit of a trend in terms of, yeah, they've probably been playing a little bit deeper on us. Obviously, from our half-back area, we've been able to, you know, cut through sides with our ball movement, so and probably from stoppage as well. So at the end of the day, teams are going to throw different things at us, and, you know, they've been holding their back six, which obviously makes it more difficult to get those goals out the back. But, you know, we're trying to arrest that and make sure we can keep the game even, and we think we've got enough talent down there to kick a score.
Good on you, Scotty. Best of luck to you and the Adelaide Crows tonight.
All right, thank you.
Scotty Camporeale from a very loud Adelaide Oval.
Interesting comments there about Jason Johannesson.
They'll go after him.
Yeah, and so they should, and good on Scotty Camporeale for telling us the
young. And a big question on Luke Beveridge, what he does with him then, because I feel like he's just left him in the one spot. I'd be throwing him if he doesn't get a kick. He needs to work his way through it, but maybe at a full forward. He's got the pace, he's got the ability to mark the footy. Throw him around a bit, put the pressure back on the opposition.
Just spoke to Scott Camporeale, and he made some interesting comments, which we'll play shortly, about Jason Johannesson. Firstly, before we get to that, Juddy, three things the Crows must do to win tonight's game.
So they need to get yardage. They need to get the ball going forward. We heard from Scott Camporeale. It's slippery over there in Adelaide. Big Sam Jacobs, Rory Sloane, the Crouch brothers in close. They don't need to be too fancy. Need to get the ball in their boot.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure the opposition mids. We know the Bulldogs are famous for their quick hands in and around the stoppages. Adelaide Crows need to bring their pressure game so that if the Dogs do kick the ball forward quickly, they can provide some intercept marks for the Crow defenders. And we need to see Eddie Betts have a big game. He's the people's champ. Hard to think of a player I enjoy watching more in the game. He's been a little bit quiet the last few weeks. Great to see him kick a few goals in slippery conditions tonight.
Nice sharp work, Juddy. Mix it up at Macca's and try the all-new Chicken Big Mac. As always, McDonald's rocking triple M football. All right, Nath, three things the Dogs must do to win in an incredibly important game for them tonight.
Yeah, agree wholeheartedly with his first one there, the yardage. So the same is for the Bulldogs. When it's wet, you got the yardage. I feel like that wet weather over there now brings the Bulldogs back to a living playing field with Adelaide. I think they're probably more your meat and potatoes players, where the Crows have got the lairising players for the midfield. So maybe yardage becomes the Dogs' best friend tonight if they can do that. Their half-back issues, they need to dominate off half-back. That was their biggest weapon last year through Murphy when he was there, Johannesson, Suckling, Boyd and Easton Wood. Easton Wood hasn't been the intercept play. If they can get that going tonight, it's been their Achilles heel this year, and springboard off halfback, they'll be good. And their better players have got to play well. And I'm talking about Bontempelli, who's been okay without being outstanding, and Stringer, who's still their most electric, most damaging player, but hasn't showed it for a while. In a night like tonight, like Eddie Betts, when it's wet, he could be the difference.
Damo, tomorrow's headline will be always my favourite part of the Friday Huddle, because you spend two or three days during the week amidst all your media commitments working and massaging and kneading. What have you got for me tonight?
Brevity of words works best in headlines, Harry.
Yes.
I'm only going to use two words tonight.
Yes.
With a hyphen in between the two.
Yes.
Dog gone.
Oh.
That's it.
Oh.
That's it.
He's doing cashies. It's been doing cashies all day instead of putting in the correct amount of work to get the headlines right.
A great headline's got very few words in it, Juddy.
That's your headline. That. Dog dash gone.
I might have got some help from you, Howie.
That's disrespectful to tradies. Listen, obviously, with young families, wife, kids. And it's not very often that your wife and your kids both go away at the same time, and then you come back and you've got the whole house to yourself. And I'm seeing a very excited man to my left. The judge is just bristling. And the mother-in-law's away too.
So Brady, when I did ask the question that he wouldn't have just come back for us tonight, there would have been another reason. Have you established there is another reason?
I think there is. I think it's because he's going to have the whole house to himself, and he might paint this great town of ours a couple of colours tonight.
I've come back for the show, and now it turns out I've got a time window, Brownie, and I'll be using that window efficiently.
Any plans, Judge, that you can tell us about or not?
Just popping out for a quiet meal and a cold one, Howie.
Okay, fair enough too. Now, Rosie, we mentioned Scott Camporeale spoke to us just before the break. I enjoy it when we get some honesty. We were told last week about a certain player tagging a player pre-game, and that came true. It's nice when the assisting coaches don't just speak in cliches. This is what Camporeale had to say about the pressure that could be placed on Jason Johannesson physically.
Yeah, well, I think there's a weakness there, so why wouldn't you embrace it? So, look, we won't go out of our way, I guess, but, you know, one of our forwards will obviously, when they're in the area, give him something to deal with.
She's a brutal game, isn't it, Damo? Oh, yeah. One little weakness is exposed, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago against the Sydney Swans, all of a sudden the entire competition's on it.
It was Georgie Hewitt, I think, who first got him on that Friday night.
It and almost been the downfall of the Dogs at the moment,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you can line that up because...
The Sydney game was the one.
It was. That was the first time they really went him. And then Mark Hutchings' job last week, that was brutal footy last week.
And then brought up in the press conference by the coach.
Yeah.
And which further highlighted it.
And again, these things have an effect not just on the individual, but the team. And again, we can tell you that it's causing issues, and they're not the biggest issues that Dogs are dealing with. But other players being required to monitor what's going on with Johannesson, then being forced to leave their little spot on the ground and their role to go and deal with it. Again, it's not the biggest problem they've got, but it is a problem that they haven't had to deal with until 4 weeks ago.
Mark Rusciuto is on the line from the Adelaide Oval, the king of Adelaide for mine, a Triple M superstar, joins us now. Hello, Rupert.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Hey, you're Jason Johannesson. You're a tough man that just used to bump off opponents and sort them out. But what does Jason Johannesson do tonight when the Adelaide Crows come for him?
Just got to man up and maybe give a little bit back and not look like he's worried about it. Just get on with the game. So at the moment, he sort of looks like he doesn't really enjoy it too much. And if you put off that vibe, it's going to continue to come. So he's just got to work through it. No different to Rory Sloane. Because a lot of the modern day players, other than the really, really good ones like Ablett, don't get tagged a lot. They're not very good when it happens. So, you know, just about every club's tagging again now, and the defensive forwards are in as well. We saw Jackson Trengo from Port Adelaide last week do it to Rant. So I think as the season gets on and there's more on the line, coaches are starting to play a little bit more defensively.
Hey, Mark, you would have heard Scott Camporelli's comments there, and they were certainly well within context, but yep. who do you expect out of the individuals, option-wise, to go to Jason?
Well, if you look at the Crows small forwards, I mean, you've got Eddie Betts. You doubt that he'd be the one doing it.
Yep.
You've got Charlie Cameron, who has got some aggression in him, but not sure if he's quite the player, but he could be. Could be just given that role. Riley Knight's got a bit of grunt about him and is a player that can kick goals as well, so he can play in that position. I would, you know, if I had to pick one, I'd probably say it'd be Riley Knight. You know, I think that he'd probably be the player that I'd pick if I had the job of choosing.
Okay. And Rory Sloane's been getting a fair bit of attention. Do you think they'll do something with him positionally, e.g. play him off half-back or spend a bit more time up forward, or do you think it'll be more a case of just drinking a bit of concrete and pushing on?
I think you've got to get the concrete in you, don't you? I mean, what does Rory Sloane want to be, a half-back flanker or a half-forward flanker for the rest of his career? Or does he want to learn how to play like he did Juddy, and you just give it to him and face up to it? And you don't have to have 30 touches and kick 3 goals when you get tagged. If you can have low 20s and play a role, well, then, you know, that's what he's got to do. So I'd be having him in the midfield. I'll be giving him a few lessons about how to do it and just got to work through it.
And, Roo, just in more importantly, who's your best at Gawler tomorrow?
Oh, Gawler?
Yeah. Well, there's no racing at Morfettville, so it's the closest place in South Australia tomorrow.
I've been going that bad. I'm off the punt at the moment.
Oh, of course you are. Of course you are,
Roo. I'm in the paddock. I'm saving up for the spring.
Roo, appreciate your time. Best of luck, and we enjoy listening to you, so we look forward to you on the call very shortly of the Crows taking on the Dogs.
Looking forward to hearing how Juddy goes out in the tolls tonight.
Yes. What, now that you are home alone, you haven't got the 17 kids and the 15 nannies helping out, Juddy, you know, what type of time do you think you'd knock it on the head tonight? Juddy sort of style.
Like West Coast Eagles. West Coast Eagles 2005 style.
Oh, okay, well,
kids are listening, Howie, come on.
West Coast Eagles, he's knocking off next Wednesday, blue. But that's a whole nother story that we probably won't go into. What time do you think you'd finish proceedings tonight?
Where was Judge Juddy tonight, by the way?
Well, who knows, Howie? I'd go into the night with no expectations. We were just catching up with a couple of old mates, and we'll see where the night's going. What time is your flight back?
Yeah,
flight's early. It's a 9 o'clock flight. Right. Is there a chance you won't see your house? I think that's unlikely.
Is there a chance you might just go to action?
I think that's very unlikely.
I'd like to find out what's happened to Judge Juddy. I thought you were better than that. It's the best segment on radio, and we haven't had Judge Juddy for 2 weeks in a row.
Where has it gone?
Sometimes. You need to answer some questions.
Well, no, most of the great artists weren't appreciating their own time. El Greco, Van Gogh, and you know I view myself
it'll be funny
as a great
when you
artist.
Die, will it?
And that's right. But you do, when you're taking risks, you do need a strong producer.
I heard you've been
And perhaps the big-nosed producer
Just hasn't been able to withstand some of the political pressures.
I heard you've been got to.
Friday tipping
Maybe
leaderboard.
Maybe you need a bit of Jake King work.
I'm not sure that's what he
Get
needs.
Get the push-up in.
Friday tipping leaderboard. Brownie, 5. 5, because he got no extra bonus for getting it right. Das, 2. Juddy, 2. Hodgie, 2. Myself, 1. Damo, 1 on the board last week.
It's fair to say we haven't missed Das or not.
Yes. No, haven't missed him at all. As a result of getting it right last week, Damo, your prize, yes, as well as joining me in 1, is you get to give the first tip tonight.
No, that is not the case.
Damien,
and
you
I
get
won't
to give
be. No, because the reason I was 0 till last week was because I was forced to
I'll kick it off
tip.
Tonight. I reckon the Crows by 17 noodles.
Yeah, the Crows by 27.
Judge?
Crows by 16.
16? There you go.
Does that leave me?
Yep.
I'm going to go Crows by 28.
Righto, covering the field nicely down for you. Well done. Hey, have a safe night tonight.
Thank
Chris.
You, Howie. Appreciate it. Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks footy.